The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio, your town hall of the air, celebrating 10 years on the air this, until we get tired of it, till we hit 11. Then we'll go celebrating 11 years. 11, you just turned me up there just for a second.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Ashley's at the helm. And Linda's here. We have Elizabeth Betancourt is here. And as soon as we do the weather, we're going to jump right into talking to Elizabeth. It's getting close to election time. So, okay, what you got there, hon?
All right, good morning, everybody, on this beautiful Monday. Oh, okay, well, Elizabeth and many people, don't worry, you're going to be on. So you want to say hi? Good morning?
Good morning.
Yeah, there you go. Hi. Because you got here bright and early, and I understand you don't have electricity.
Nope.
But you did get your generator.
We did.
Okay, excellent. We're going to have overnight mostly clear tonight. Our current temperatures right now in the downtown studios, 51 degrees. So it looks like we have those high wind warnings one more time. Red flag warnings are what they're calling it from the National Weather Service. Overnight mostly clear with a steady temperature of around 45, about 9 miles per hour. But we do know that we have the big gusts coming. Tonight, again, winds with 13 to 23 miles per hour, 23 to 33 miles per hour through the morning. Wind gusts can get up to as much as 50 miles per hour. So please just be mindful. I know I put all my pads away. I put everything. I had umbrellas that flew over and, anything that I had, laundry that was hanging out on the line. It was a big mess. But so be mindful of your neighbors and that kind of thing, and just understand, and I'm sure you all have, what the wind can really do. Tuesday night clear with a low of around 38, breezy with the north wind around 23 miles per hour, and gusts as high as what we mentioned before. That's Tuesday night. Wednesday, sunny with a high near 68 and breezy. Thursday, sunny with a high near 74. Excuse me. Running out of breath on Monday. Let's get here. Friday, sunny with a high near 76. Saturday, sunny with a high near 75. And Sunday, sunny with a high near 77. So we have windy and breezy up until Thursday. And the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Locally owned and operated, where senior and veteran discounts are welcome. Give them a call at 365-3793.
So we're here with Elizabeth Betancourt, and she has been running a very effective campaign up here in the first Assembly District, I should say. So good morning.
Good morning, Kyle.
Okay, just let people know who Elizabeth Betancourt is.
Gosh, that could take as long or short as you have, I guess. But
well, we have 45 minutes, so... we may want to get on to, things that you're interested in achieving.
Yes, sounds good. So I've worked for nearly 20 years in water resources and forest and watershed management. And so really I've developed an expertise and connections in that world that I think could be incredibly valuable in advocating for our region. And as we move forward into certainly a world where we experience power shutoffs more often, where we absolutely have to think about more actively managing our forests, where we have a governor who's looking at a different way of managing California's water resources, looking at one tunnel through the Delta rather than two, I have extensive experience in water resources negotiations and management and advocacy, and so really I'm looking at how to advocate more effectively for our North State region.
So I'd love to start, if you don't mind, because I know you've been on before, and this is my first time meeting you, and lovely to meet you and have you on, by the way. Tell us a little bit about your history, and what brought you to the point that I am going to run for Assembly?
Sure, that's a great question. And it's nice to meet you, too. I've seen you at a number of public functions and appreciate so much how you and Carl both advocate for the region.
Well, thank you.
So thank you. Well, I really, my degree in college was in science, and I studied science because I always tended more towards the social side of things. And I thought, well, I better get a degree in something that I couldn't learn by myself. And so I studied science to kind of back up what I knew would be my path, which is really focused on resources and the way that we interact with them. And so getting into my first job out of college, I focused a lot on policy, on advocacy. We had a lobbyist at the time that really didn't advocate as much for the district, for the water district I was working for, as much as he did for his other clients and just brought us along. And so I learned a lot about what it means to actually advocate for the community you serve rather than the interest that you're paid by. And so that process sort of I'm sorry, I'm getting a little bit in and out here. Which
yeah,
is
so much.
I don't understand.
I'm going to go and check it. Right
okay.
Now.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, it feels like it's kind of going woo, woo.
Yeah.
Okay. We may have to switch mics, but anyway, go ahead.
Okay, sure. And so really that process of focusing on policy with the background and resources brought me again and again to advocating for communities I serve and feel strongly about representing at the Capitol or at higher levels of government with the administration. And what I saw again and again is that our regions, our rural California regions, have really not effective management, not effective advocacy,
mm-hmm.
largely because we don't have enough people in Sacramento. We know that we have representation based on how many people are in the district, but because California is largely urban, that means there are fewer representatives from rural places. But that doesn't mean that our rural places are less important.
Okay, we're going to do this right now. We're
going to
switch
over to
this.
Okay.
It's obvious that was not working.
Maybe this microphone is okay. Thank you. Okay, so let's. While we're changing you over, Elizabeth, your history is in science as far as like why you went to college and took that and then got involved in advocacy and got in touch with the lobbyists and what it took to do the legislation of what it is to do water work. So, but let's go a little bit back before that. I know what you're saying regarding like that's what you got your juju going as far as like running for office. Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up and how, I always like to know the history of before the science, before the college, because I think people need an insight of, you know, your life and what you're about and you know, that's part of the makeup of who you are.
Sure. Okay. So we're going way back.
Then. Yeah.
So my first political experience, and I was just talking with a group at Shasta College, and it's being called political socialization now. How were you socialized into the political world?
I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I barely remember it, but I know that my parents brought me to the voting booth when you pulled the
right.
little, mm-hmm. you know, the curtain. But I think actually more than that, I've always been a leader, and I don't remember this, but my dad has told me that when I was in preschool, which was a parent participation preschool, I was out in the play yard with a bunch of other little girls, and my mom came in and saw that and asked the teacher, well, should we talk with Elizabeth? She's being awfully bossy out there. And the teacher's response was, well, you know, actually, Elizabeth is exhibiting leadership skills. And, you know, I grew up in a family, very strong family values. I have three brothers and sisters, so four of us kids, my mom and my dad. My mom died about 6 years ago now, so we've definitely experienced that loss. But certainly my family is very close, continues to be very close. And so the process, I'm the oldest, and so the process of growing up as the oldest, I think that's a natural, most oldest
mm-hmm.
kids are leaders. It
mm-hmm.
kind of is a natural box to fall into. But I remember, too, I wanted to, when I learned that there had never been a woman president, you know, wherever you learn that, first
right.
grade, second grade,
right.
I wanted to be the first woman president. So that leadership, I think, has always been in me. It has, as I think it does with many women, it has fought with the cultural pressure to be not as forward. And I equated humility and service with being lower right? Lower in status or lower on the food chain. And so I think that's not the case. And I think we're just starting really to think about that differently.
Good for you. Okay. So I think that gives a little insight to you.
We need to take a quick break and we're going to get back into the issues here. And this portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Sleep Number with the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed. This smartest choice for better sleep and the best bed for couples. Why? Because you can adjust your side of the bed. My Sleep Number setting is 60 and Linda.
My sleep number setting changes all the time, so you probably don't even know what it is. I can only speak for myself on that because I switch it around. Last night was 65.
Okay. So, and you know, this is, if you look at Sleep Number, it is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. And as I point out that the Miami Dolphins obviously are not, do not have the right Sleep Number setting because they haven't won a game yet and they're going against Pittsburgh tonight. Mm. So I think we can probably safely say that maybe they should, you know, take a look at their Sleep Number settings and change them dramatically. Or maybe they have. If they have last night, maybe Pittsburgh's in trouble. But you can experience the smart, effortless comfort of the Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed and find your competitive edge and save up to $400 on select Sleep Number 360 Smart Beds. Right now, though, the only way you can do that is to head down to Reading to the Sleep Number store and go in, tell them Carl and Linda sent you, and try out one of the beds. Just lay there. See how it works for you. That's Sleep Number. We'll be right back with Elizabeth Betancourt, 7:16 in the morning, about 51 degrees out there.
Michael, do be careful.
Come on, Wendy. I'll show you the mermaids.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
This is retired U.S. Army Command Sergeant Major Ted Lighty, 1983 graduate of West Valley High School and proud Cottonwood native. After 22 years of service, I'm proud to represent Northern California veterans and our legacy of service to our country and community. Let's take a moment to reflect on the sacrifices made throughout the world by our veterans and their families who support them at home.
Shasta Regional Medical Center thanks our veterans for their service. United in care.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Sudhalter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea after looking at some other options. When she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or luncheon a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits, prophets and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC.
experience what it's like to be an archaeologist, biologist, or astromathematician in Turtle Bay's Mystery of the Mayan Medallion on display September 28th through January 12th. Delve into science, language, history, and mathematics in this hands-on immersive treasure hunt of an exhibition. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Do you have your dad's dimples, your mom's curly hair? What makes us, us? Explore genomic science in Turtle Bay's newest expedition, Genome, Unlocking Life's Code, on display September 21st through January 2nd. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
And good morning. Welcome back to KCNR.
Something's on.
All right, let's go back to Elizabeth Bentoncourt. Thank you so much for joining us today. We just love our morning bugs. You know, it's just part of what it is. But we're just going to push through with you. We're so happy to have
Monday.
You here on this beautiful morning. And welcome back to the show. I know you wanted to, Carl, just kind of to power through. And let's go, while we've got Elizabeth here, talk about some of the issues. We're talking about fire and water.
There you go. Okay.
Great.
Let's talk about fire.
Let's talk about fire.
Since right now you have no power because... how's it feel to live in a third world country?
Right? That's exactly how it feels. And that we had to buy a generator. I mean, it's really gotten me thinking about power provision in the 21st century in a first world nation. And really what our power grid that's been in place for a really long time, maybe we should be rethinking how that's structured.
Well, how?
Well, one of the things I've been thinking about and reading a little bit about and actually talked with a couple of folks in our region about, we have four or five power co-ops in the Sierra Plumas County area where people actually came together really during the rural electrification era and developed power grid in their area specific for their community.
Like REU.
Yeah, exactly.
REU is a perfect example.
It's a perfect example. There's a number of public power providers in our state that have not gone out with the wind. SMUD is another one. Mm-hmm. Modesto Irrigation District is another one. So I think that's one idea. But the other idea is, you know, in thinking about how our power provision right now feels a little third world, in the third world, in many cases, power is provided very locally. So by solar or by wind or just in a way that is hyper, uber local. Maybe we're going that direction. I know there's a number of people who are able to get off the grid completely with solar. So if we could do that, I mean, imagine how much power we would have individually from that standpoint in providing our own power.
That's one answer. But the power grids still have to be there to provide power in case, you know, unless you opt off it totally and using deep cell batteries. Mm-hmm. Even your solar at night, they have to, it has to maintain
right
the
now,
electricity
absolutely.
Right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the fires that we're looking at down in Southern California, another 200,000 people, being evacuated. The Getty Museum is in danger right now.
Yeah.
You've talked before about how to handle the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is resounding consensus that we need to do more in our forests. We have forests that have been neglected largely, definitely since the 80s from our national forest standpoint, but certainly for at least the last 100 years in fire suppression and really not being able to get in enough and take care of the forest. These are forests that were actively managed by Native Americans for thousands of years before Europeans got here, and we know that we need to be more active in the forest. We need to consider us humans as part of the ecology of our world. We are part of our ecology. And so making sure that people can be more active in the forest. So that means higher levels of harvest, but that harvest has to include forest health measures as well. So the brush has to be removed. We have to make sure that there are markets for all of those things so that while it may take public funding initially to spur that development and innovation, that has to become a self-sufficient marketplace.
Well, are cogen plants part of that plan?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, I don't know if you've been up on 44 lately, but how they've been clearing out the Shingletown area.
Yes.
it's something that I think we need throughout California. It's going to put thousands and thousands of people to work.
Absolutely.
It'll provide electricity in renewable assets because it's considered renewable.
Yep.
So do you think that the Assembly is ready for that? I mean, they started kind of moving forward, and now Gavin Newsom has said it's a state of emergency in California. So I think it's been a state of emergency for several years. That's just my aside.
Yeah.
Are they ready to actually put some teeth into this?
So I will tell you, Carl, I have seen this from a number of different perspectives. I've seen it from the perspective of the private sector as a consultant. I've seen it from the perspective of being an active advocate for forest health. And I'm now seeing it from the perspective of being a regulator. And I will say that, yes, California and generally, I think lawmakers are ready to take action in a way that they can be convinced that action will happen. But I will say it is, in many cases, agencies that are most in the way of getting work done. And we have
state
to...
State or federal? Both.
I would say both. I'm more familiar with state agencies, but certainly federal agencies have their own issues as well, budgetary and otherwise. But we have to create incentives for them to do the right thing. And that has to include looking again at our environmental regulations, which so often take years to get through to actually get a project done. In many cases, the Shingletown project you're talking about was fast-tracked through CEQA. That's the only reason it's being done right now.
Yeah, people with their own property, and it's taken them 2 years to get a timber permit.
Yeah.
On your own property.
Yeah.
And, the plans are the same. I'm talking about Sierra Pacific. I mean, all the plans are the same.
Yeah.
But yet it still takes them 2 years to get us, to get permission to cut their own trees.
No, you're right. And I think, environmental regulations are important to ensure that there are sidewalks, right, that there are backstops. But I also think that they're being taken advantage of by groups that, and there are not many groups that believe that forest management isn't the way to go, but there are groups that believe that's not.
No, they believe nothing should be cut.
Yeah.
That's why we're having all these fires.
Absolutely. I will tell you, though, it is ironic that there are a number of studies out that after the King Fire, and that was in the Placer County, El Dorado County area, and I think 2016-ish, they found a number of charred owl carcasses.
Owl?
Yes. And so, yes, right? That's the irony, is that we are doing all we can to protect a species when what we should be doing is protect a habitat, right, and looking at it in a much more holistic way.
I can't disagree with that. I think that we need to be able to clear these forests out. You go to different states, and it's like looking at cathedrals. I mean, I hate to say it like that, but the forest is clear. These huge trees are out there. It's beautiful in there. You can walk through it like California used to be in the early 1900s.
Yes.
And now we're just burning ourselves to pieces. We're killing owls. Now we're heading this one fire. If it jumps the freeway, it's going to take out a huge old growth redwood forest. And that, I just don't think that they've reached that point yet down there. So, okay. But that's okay. Now the other thing about the forest is when you have this sustainable growth in the underbrush and all that is the impact it has on the water,
mm-hmm.
which leads us to the next part.
Absolutely.
Water.
Yeah.
Your Sykes Reservoir, good idea, bad idea?
Sykes Reservoir, I think it's something that needs a little bit more of at least my understanding. Perhaps the science is out there, but it has been touted as potentially an environmental benefit, and that may be the case. But from what I can see from a scientific perspective, it is very broad and fairly shallow, which means the water stored in sites is going to warm up pretty quickly, which could lead to increased evaporation, certainly. But if it's being used for environmental uses, that warm water is not going to be beneficial for our salmonids.
You say environmental, you mean like food production?
I mean, when people say environmental benefit, they usually mean for anadromous salmonids, so the salmon that spawn in the Sacramento River. They have very particular temperature requirements, and if that water warms, I believe it's above 54 degrees, it might be above 45 degrees, they could it could be negative, actually, rather than beneficial to them. So we need to think about how that's managed in tandem with our other reservoirs. I had a great conversation with one of our union advocates the other day, and he explained to me that he saw it as being managed in tandem with Shasta Reservoir, and that releasing water during non-anadromy times in the Sacramento River would then allow Shasta Reservoir to store more of that cold water pool, which could be more beneficial for the anadromous fish. So I think really looking at it more as a system rather than as very distinct points is really important. And I look forward to having more of those conversations.
But they've been studying this thing for 25 years.
50.
Or 50 years. I mean, we need more water storage. Would you agree to that?
Yeah, I definitely think that that's true. Certainly as our snowpack is projected to disappear. Well,
this one's been studied for 50 years. And do you think it needs more study?
I need to understand that the Bureau of Reclamation is committed to managing in tandem with the state of California. That is not always the case. They are just starting to talk about a change in the rule curve of how they manage our reservoirs in a time of climate. They've managed those reservoirs the exact same way for how they release flows during flood season for as long as they've been around.
Mm-hmm.
That's in a time of climate, and as we have changing needs, that's not okay to continue managing them in the same way.
Got to take a break. Elizabeth Betancourt is our guest who is running for assembly. We need to do some love with our sponsors here, and our portion of the show is brought to you by
Shasta Regional Medical Center and the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals, recognized by the Watson Health Organization, fully accredited chest pain center, also fully accredited by the Joint Commission on strokes, and the Stroke Center offers comprehensive treatment for stroke, caring for patients affected by stroke, beginning with immediate evaluation and screening by a specialized group of nurses and physicians. All of this at Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Going to take a quick break and come right back with Elizabeth Betancourt.
Wade in the water. Gonna trouble the water. Who are those children all dressed in red? God's gonna trouble the water. It must be the ones that Moses led. God's gonna trouble the water.
Armstrong and Getty here. We'll be on right after Carl and Linda's Free Fire Radio Show.
Join us right here from 9 till noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coach Master has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coach Master, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coach Master apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachMasterAutobody.com.
The United States Marine Corps is celebrating its 244th birthday, Sunday, November 10th at the Wind River Casino and Resort. All are invited to attend this year's ceremony, which includes dinner and dancing, and enjoy the traditional ceremony, including presentation of the birthday cake, honoring the oldest and youngest Marine, missing in action remembrance, the pipes and drums, and music to dance to. Contact Mike Gutierrez at 530-524-7595 for invitations and more information. The 244th United States Marine Corps birthday. Hoorah!
And now, Carl and Linda Box. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. 7:36 in the morning, 50 degrees.
Oh, I was just going to say, currently 52 degrees.
Okay. Hey, we're here with Elizabeth Betancourt, who is running for Assembly, 1st District up here. The election is getting ready to be next week, I think, or is it?
Wait, November 5th.
November 5th.
Okay. Elizabeth, I have to ask you, and I warned you, Second Amendment. The Democrats in Sacramento are taking away the rights of legal gun owners. And I can list you 50 things, but as you and I talked, ammo. Mm-hmm. Needing a ID to buy a box of 22 ammo.
Yeah, and I can totally understand the feeling of being treated like a criminal when you're doing something legal, right? I totally get that. I feel that way when I go through TSA, actually.
Well, yeah, TSA is the same thing.
Yeah. I don't believe that the way that California is handling the gun safety issue is productive. And I will say that I have had conversations with gun owners who are strong Democrats, who are, you know, members of the party, active members of the party, who have a huge problem with the way that California is regulating guns and ammunition. And I will add my voice to that. That is an important issue for our rural communities, as well as just safety in general. I talked with a woman just the other day who lives in town, but she lives in a pretty rough neighborhood and doesn't see the police come in there very quickly. So certainly I understand the need to protect yourself. What I see this as is a federal issue, because what we're talking about in most cases when we have mass shootings is these very large firearms, semi-automatic firearms that we in California can do, you know, whatever. We can regulate the heck out of guns, and they're still going to come across our border because other states aren't going to do the same thing. I'm not saying we should do that at all. What I'm saying is that doing anything like that would be not successful.
Would you restrict the right of people to buy semi-automatic rifles that look dangerous?
Not here in California.
Would you go for it if it's nationwide?
From a federal perspective, yes.
And you would take away my right to own a semi-automatic rifle.
We had this conversation the last time
we
was
did,
here, Carl.
And I didn't get the answer I wanted, so I had to ask again. Today. So yeah. You would restrict my right for that?
For the AR-15s, the AK-47s, yeah.
How about the M1?
I don't know.
That's a semi-automatic rifle that does not have a removable magazine, but it was the World War II. It was the battle weapon in World War II, and that's semi-automatic.
Yeah. I am not an expert in guns, and so I can't give you what would be a satisfying answer of what that definition would be.
Would you believe that there's more people killed by clubs than there are rifles
by
in the United States?
Clubs
and fist than rifles. If you look, if
I
you believe
if you're
the FBI,
just looking if you, at rifles,
well,
I suppose that's probably
true. Let's go to
true.
The phones. I think it's time for our caller. Nick, good morning. You have a question.
Good morning. Elizabeth, you brought up the Sykes Reservoir, and you your excuse for not having it was the water would warm up and it would affect the salmon spawning. The The fact of the matter is the salmon spawning used to not spawn south of Shasta County until Shasta Dam was put in and cooled off the water. And now that we have the colder water, they don't spawn south of Willows down in there. And the Sykes Reservoir is way down at Clusa. It wouldn't affect the salmon at all. But my question is about the closed borders and Gavin Newsom wanting us to have a sanctuary state. And how do you feel about the homeless? How are we going to get control of the homeless problem and the crime that comes along with them? Are you all for housing all of the homeless? Are you for giving benefits to illegals and that come here and live homelessly?
Thank you for your call, Nick.
Thanks.
That is a whole stack of questions.
Litany of questions.
Very important ones, though, certainly. I think from a homelessness perspective, one of the things I'm looking at is really equipping our local communities to do what they do best, which in many cases is partnering with nonprofits who have exceptional services and just need the opportunity to better provide those. So that includes drug rehab, counseling. It includes housing.
Job training,
absolutely.
Let them work their ways into housing. Everybody's agreeing on that, Elizabeth.
Yes.
I think everybody agrees on
that. Oh, absolutely. It's like a forestry issue, really.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's just on how we're doing that. We're working that right now in Reading to do something like this. But let's go back to the border. Do you believe in the sanctuary state?
The sanctuary, this is another thing we talked about the last time I was here. I do, and it is for two reasons. Primarily, it is because my moral background and my conscience would suggest that if there are people who are running from violence, persecution, who need safety, it is the federal government's job to handle that. Once people are here, it is our responsibility to make sure they have what they need to be as successful as they can be in our community.
What if they're just looking for a job?
If they're simply looking for a job, the federal government, and this is a federal issue, the federal government absolutely must establish a program by which people can come in and work. We had that in, what was that, the 80s, 70s and 80s, and it went away. And so really looking at how we can better serve the businesses that are here, there are businesses that depend on migrant labor. In many cases, the restaurant industry, as well as the more traditional ones of forestry and agriculture. But the other reason that this is not the state's problem,
it's the state that voted to have sanctuary cities, sanctuary state.
So
it wasn't the feds. The feds didn't vote.
No, they didn't. And they wouldn't because they're asking the state to essentially do their job. And so when we say we're a sanctuary state, what we're saying is that the state of California is not going to put our state resources into the federal government's job, into pursuing migrants that the federal government is after. Right? They need to be doing their job. In most cases, they don't communicate or coordinate with the state on things that we need them for. So really, vice versa, you know, do your job, federal government.
Okay. We got 2 minutes for you to, 2 or 3 minutes for you to kind of like encircle all this.
Oh, are we done already? That was
7:45.
To do your spiel.
To do your thing to say why to vote for Elizabeth.
Sure. Well,
let me just say this, too, because I'll give you extra time then, is that you've got some really, really good ideas.
Thank you.
I really think that.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Carl. And thank you for having me back on again.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you know what? I wanted to do that. And
2 minutes to do your spiel.
Well, yeah, 2 or 3.
Go ahead.
All right.
Shoot.
Well, I just want to remind everyone to vote on November 5th or before if you have your mail-in ballot. It's incredibly important. It's a responsibility of being a citizen here in the U.S. But the other thing, we didn't get too far into my platform. That sounds so formal. But really, I'm looking at equipping our rural communities for the future in a way that makes us adaptive and flexible and resilient. And so that has to include, we talked a little bit about housing. It has to include more affordable housing for everyone, but more housing at every level. It has to include education, investment in K-12, as well as higher education and lots of technical education. It must include healthcare, greater access, adding new technology. And it has to include, let's see what we did, jobs, education, health care, jobs. The jobs element is incredibly important in our communities, and it's one of those things that we can incentivize for rural communities in ways that don't require money. We can incentivize them from a regulatory standpoint, from a lack of regulatory standpoint. And so I'm really looking at equipping our rural regions in a way that makes us more resilient into the future. There are incredible opportunities to take advantage of what we already have. We don't need answers from outside. We don't need to just keep saying no, 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 no. What we need is the opportunity to move forward with what we have. So here in Shasta County, for example, we have an exceptional program in the College Connections opportunity at Shasta College, which connects our high school students with the college opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Right. Right.
We need to do that more. Here in Assembly District 1, we have two pilot programs which offer bachelor's degrees at community colleges. So what I'm saying is that I'm running on the platform of we have the answers we need. We don't need answers from outside. We need an opportunity to move forward. And as a farmer, I've seen that. As a public employee, I've seen that. And I understand the way that the legislature works because I've advocated there for a number of years. And I'm looking forward to advocating further for our region from a standpoint of power and from a standpoint of opportunity.
Okay. Thank Elizabeth you. Betancourt. I'm sure you can, if you go to Elizabeth Betancourt for Assembly on Facebook or?
It's Betancourt for 81 on Facebook and BetancourtForAssembly.com.
Thank you for joining us this morning.
Elizabeth,
you know,
thank you so
and
much.
And best to you.
Thank you very much,
Linda.
Thank you, Carl.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back here on KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio, we're going to be talking some veterans issues.
Well, we're going to be talking about firefighting issues with Ben Stevens. They're, they're trying to raise money for their volunteer fire department, out of Palos Cedro.
Okay.
All right, we'll be right back.
If sometimes I seem to be mad, but don't you know that no one alive can always be in danger? When things go wrong, I seem to be mad. I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Start your morning with Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now. A lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
My name is Mike Gutierrez. I'm a 40-year resident in Shasta County, and I served honorably and proudly in the United States Marine Corps from 1967 to 70 with a tour in Vietnam. My experiences and lessons that I learned in the Marine Corps continue to benefit me even today. Semper Fi.
Shasta Regional Medical Center thanks you for your service and your sacrifice. United in care.
We're Billy and Patrick for Redding Kia. We both own Kias, and we love them.
It's Customer Appreciation Month with some of the best deals of the year on the cars and SUVs Redding loves to drive.
Gas prices are ridiculous right now. Drive a 2019 Kia Niro CUV, get an estimated 50 miles per gallon, and receive $1,500 in Kia customer cash. That's a customer appreciation deal.
Or how about a super affordable 2020 Kia Sportage with all-wheel drive? Winter's coming, and if you want to go anywhere, on-road or off, this is your SUV. Get your best price and $2,000 Kia customer cash at Redding Kia.
And every Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, the best in the business. Warranty's a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details.
Sale ends 10/31/2019. Billy is the marketing manager for Redding Kia.
For the vehicles Northern California loves to drive, nobody does it better than Redding Kia. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, 418 East Cypress, RedingKia.com.
So what's scorecard scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
But don't play with me, cause you're playing with fire.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. With Carl and Linda Bott, 7:51 in the morning, 605-4567 is our phone number. This portion of the show brought to you by Maximal Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. She's been doing this since 1993, and I tell you what, Judy Maxwell is the one that can find fire insurance. She's done it. Give her a call at 221-0441. We're here today with the Bella Vista.
Palisadro.
I had 50% chance of being right on that.
I've got it written down. Palisadro Volunteer Fire Department.
That's right. Kelsey Grace and Vince Stevenson. That's just what I said.
Vince Stevenson. Welcome to the show this morning, guys.
Hi, thank you.
I'll just shut up now.
Okay, let's get you in there. So Kelsey, we know Vince. So tell us a little bit about you and what you guys are here for this morning.
So I am the chief of the Palisadro Volunteer Fire Department, and I've been doing this for about 5 years, but I've only been the chief for the last year. So we are promoting our annual taco feed and raffle, which is November 2nd. It's at the Palisadro Fire Department, and it's from 4 to 7 p.m.
And that's this Saturday.
Yes, this
from
Saturday.
4 to 7 p.m. Now, Kelsey, now a volunteer fire department. I have very little knowledge of that, among other things. Do you have, like, one pro that's there all the time, or is this all of you are volunteers and you've been through schools?
So there's 18 volunteer stations in the county, and anything that's outside of city limits proper is a volunteer station, except for City of Anderson, Shasta Lake, other fire protection districts. So we are all volunteer. We get all of our training through the county, and they put on the volunteer recruit academies. They do it twice a year in the spring and in the winter.
Sorry. That's okay.
It's
probably from sucking in smoke.
Probably. And so we do all of our training through the county, and then we evolve from there. So you go from being just a responder, and you can't drive anything until you take your driver operator, and then you slowly get to do more and more and more.
So it's a totally volunteer department then.
Yeah.
You'll see maybe in some bigger towns they'll have volunteers, but they'll have a professional there from the district. But you all are all this, but you guys fight the fires just like everybody else.
True. We, at Station 32, we're actually very unique because we have a paid county engine there 24/7 because of the fact that we have 5 schools in our immediate response area within a mile from our station. So we have a county engine that is staffed with CAL FIRE paid personnel, but we as county volunteers can ride along on the engine with them and can go to calls with them to get more experience, or we can be at the station with them and then take our own equipment to fires if we
need. Now, Ben, you haven't been in this very long, right?
Nope. Actually, I think I started in July.
Yeah, I guess July. Like July.
Yeah, yep. In July. Okay. Yep. So why did you join?
Well, actually, I obviously grew up in the area. I grew up in Palo Cedro many, many years ago. And this particular fire department actually saved my father once. They responded to my family home when it caught on fire back in the day. So at some point, I actually read an article, and it talked about the fact that we needed more volunteers in particular areas. And so I showed up and knocked on the door one day and said, how do I do this? And I can actually, for those people out there thinking about it, I can tell you that it's far more in-depth than what I initially thought, because I remember this particular group back in the day. Basically, if you were a warm body, they threw a uniform at you and said, it's time to go. And so they basically took just about anybody who walked in the door. Well, now, like Kelsey was talking, the chief was talking about, it requires going through the academy. And, you know, if you want to respond to anything that's health related, you're going to EMR classes, you're doing hazmat, you're doing all the different things that most of them do. And you're trained by people who are Cal Fire full time. You know, they have expectations.
So it's a wonderful opportunity.
Absolutely.
For someone who is like, I want to be a volunteer. They may have a regular job.
Absolutely.
And they all of a sudden have this opportunity to go through the academy, learn skills, but be somebody who wants to do something of service.
Absolutely.
This is just a wonderful opportunity. So are you going to be doing like a drive? Are you here today to share with our listeners about this opportunity? But are you doing a drive to look for people in your area? Are you doing like we're having a potluck on this day so everybody can get together and we're going to do presentations about, if you want to put this time and energy into this, this is what, you know, you're going to meet people that are, you know, boots on the ground that have done this type of thing.
So the Taco Feed is a fundraiser. It's the only fundraiser that we do all year currently, and it is solely a community outreach. Come in and we have a raffle, and so come in, eat some good food, possibly earn prizes, and get to know the volunteers in your area.
And that is on what date again?
November 2nd.
Okay. And that's going to be this Saturday from 4 to 7. And this Saturday from 4 to 7. And it's going to be, you go down and it's, how much is this?
It's $7 for adults, $4 for kids. Kids under 10 eat free.
Okay, now is that all the tacos you can eat?
That is, you get about 2 or 3 tacos.
Okay.
Rice, beans. The fixings for your tacos.
All right.
I also have enchiladas as well.
I have a feeling.
You have raffles and drawings and stuff?
Giving away a nice rifle.
Long range.
I have a feeling that people are going there not for the tacos. It's a nice idea. You could serve anything, and people are going there. So we want to get the word out again. Location.
It is at the Fire Hall, which is on Deschutes Road, right in between Point S Tires and the Holiday Market Shopping Center.
Yeah, okay.
It's a darling little fire.
So it was built in 1974. This is our 45th anniversary year. It was built in 1974. All of the brick was laid by the volunteers back then, and they spent their time building it on their time off from work, on their weekends. They built the station from the ground up.
That's wonderful. Great history.
So, again, this is something that small towns, the volunteer fire department, and out there, but you put your lives on the line because you go in. I mean, you're trained just like regular firefighters, and if the fire's out there, you know. Now, do you get a phone call in the middle of the night, and then everybody responds, or is somebody on the shift and somebody's not?
Well, ironically, somebody was there until 2 o'clock this morning dealing with a call. So
You were? Okay.
Yeah.
Kelsey was. But is it because of the outages and all this?
No. Well, partially. We were on a structure fire in Bella Vista last night until late into the morning hours. But we have pagers. So the command center, which is the Cal Fire Command Center, does all of our dispatching. And so we get paged through them. Our pagers will go off and it'll say what kind of call it is.
Okay. The other thing too is are you paid for this at all?
Not really.
Okay. They give you like paid to get back and forth and all that.
Yeah, you know, you're paid for your pride. You get rid of the pride button. Like, you know, I did something
worthy
in my life that, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Bittler's the Palisadro Fire Department everywhere. I have seen him wearing it at this, at the Waterworks Park, going up and down the slides. That's what he's wearing. Unfortunately, that's all he's wearing.
Yeah.
All right, you guys. Thank you, first of all.
How do we get tickets? Hurry up, we gotta go.
Both of you all.
Just come to the station. Okay.
Just come to the station.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for what you do for the community and our community, because this is not an easy thing, and it's I know it's a work of love. So
it is.
Thank you. Okay,
thank
hey, we're going to
so
take
much.
A quick break, and we're going to be right back right after the news. Carl and Linda Bott. This is KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, Shasta Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President Trump is hopeful that Congress will soon pass the USMCA, that's a trade agreement with Canada and Mexico.
It's a great agreement for the United States, for our farmers, for our manufacturers, for unions, for everything. It's been approved by Mexico and Canada. They're waiting.
The president accusing what he calls do-nothing Democrats being preoccupied with impeachment rather than passing a trade bill. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti says some homes have burned in a wildfire in the city's west side, but so far there has not been widespread damage. Farther north, Sonoma County Supervisor David Rabbit had this advice for evacuees.
Be safe. Stay out of the evacuation zones. Be patient. Be kind to one another. And we shall all get through this together.
Some 200,000 people have been forced to evacuate. Democratic Congresswoman Katie Hill of California has resigned her seat amid an ethics investigation.
Ms. Hill issued a statement saying in part that she was resigning because she believed it was the best thing for her constituents, community, and country. Ms. Hill is contending with a divorce. At the same time, the House opened an ethics probe last week after publication of compromising photos of Hill and purported text messages from her to a campaign staffer, a recent college graduate.
That is correspondent George Bonzani reporting. Wall Street bracing for some important economic data this week. A preview from correspondent Ken Lorman.
Hoping to continue the rally Wall Street saw last week, more corporate financial reports will roll out this week. Among the third quarter earnings updates set to be released will be Pfizer, General Motors, and Apple.
That's Ken Lorman. Global stock markets rose today as investors looked optimistically ahead to a crowded week of corporate earnings. On Wall Street, investors appear to feel good so far this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 136 points. The NASDAQ is up 69. More from townhall.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 3388 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 3388. Enjoy!
Correspondent Matt Small reports former Michigan Democratic Congressman John Conyers, the longest-serving black member of Congress and founder of the Black Caucus, has died.
Detroit police say the 90-year-old appears to have passed away due to natural causes at his home yesterday. During a nearly 53-year career in the House, the Michigan Democrat fought for a federal holiday honoring the Reverend Martin Luther King, Jr. Conyers eventually stepped down for health reasons after his legacy was smeared in 2017 following allegations that he sexually harassed female staffers, accusations Conyers denied.
That is correspondent Matt Small reporting. The International Monetary Fund says political uncertainty and volatile oil prices are hampering economic growth in the Middle East this year. The IMF's Regional Outlook report projects growth to rise just 0.5% for 2019 compared to 1.6% for all of last year. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Center-left opposition candidate Alberto Fernandez has been elected president of Argentina in a vote that was dominated by economic concerns.
This was a vote against austerity. One in three people now lives in poverty, and many blamed Mr. Macri for failing to make things better. So now Alberto Fernandez has got the top job, a centre-left politician who was relatively unknown until the campaign started. More famous is his vice president Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, a former leader who faces charges of corruption and accusations she mismanaged the economy. Mr. Fernandez now has a big job on his hands, satisfying those who wanted a return to old politics and convincing his critics he can move the country forward in the next 4 years.
That's the BBC's Katie Watson. Britain's ambassador has met with Vietnamese officials to discuss cooperation in the identification of 39 bodies. They were found in a truck in southeastern England. The driver of that truck now facing charges. More on these stories from townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio. Celebrating 10 years on the air, 8:05 in the morning here on the 28th of October. And the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, and community at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Linda is here with me, of course. And what's the weather look like? What's it look like for Halloween when I go out and I dress up and I go out from door to door?
Oh, well, let's see. That would be Thursday night. It's going to be sunny with a high near 74. Overnight lows would be around 42. I'm going to quickly go through this because Ashley has a just released schools that are going to be closed today. Overnight, mostly clear tonight with a low of 45. Tomorrow calls for a high of 73. We are under a red flag warning. We will have gusts up to as much of today and tomorrow up to 50 miles per hour. So just be aware of the fact that we're going to be having gusts. It will be clear tonight with a low of 39, clear and breezy tomorrow with a high of 63 and overnight lows of 38, and Wednesday calls for 68. We'll get more with the forecast in a minute, but Ashley, let us know what you've just received.
So I got this information from KRCR. This is their list they've assembled this morning, and these are classes and schools that are no longer closed today because of the power outages. And this includes Humboldt State University, Cascade Union Elementary School District, Pacheco, Anderson Union High School District, which includes Anderson High School, New Tech, North Valley High, West Valley, Anderson Adult Education, Cuddleback School is closed, Cutton School, Evergreen Elementary, Evergreen Middle School, Green Point School, the Klamath Trinity Joint Unified School District is closed, Oak Run, Red Bluff includes Vista Prep, Metier Elementary, not one I know. Jackson Heights Elementary, Bidwell Elementary, Happy Valley Elementary Primary and Community Day Schools. Millville is on a minimum day schedule. North Cow Creek begins at a normal time, will release at noon. Stony Creek will start 2 hours late today.
Oh, okay. That's good to know. So everybody needs to be a little... Are you finished?
Yep.
Okay. So everybody needs to be a little bit mindful of probably... You know, staff, and I'm sure we're going to be getting some calls from people as staff arrive here at our headquarters today down at down on Market Street, that some people that have kids or they're out of electricity or trying to get kids to school, and it just turns upside down, as you know. You're trying to get out of the house to get to work, but kids are there, and daycare may be closed, and you're trying to figure out what you do if you've got small kids, the whole thing that goes on. But let's go to the phones right now. Sally, good morning. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Good morning. Wow, that's pretty amazing what's happening. Yeah,
yes.
My son's coming here today to take a shower because he's out of power before he goes to work.
Yes. Well,
so,
you...
I mean, everybody's life, like you say, is turned upside down. But tonight at the Reading Patriots meeting, we're going to show a pretty scary movie. It's Dinesh D'Souza's Death of a Nation. And I thought it was pretty appropriate, even if people had seen it when it first came out. It's even more appropriate today, I think, than it was back in 2017 when he first produced it. So
okay.
Tonight at the Reading Patriots at 6 o'clock, come and join us as we show Death of a Nation by Dinesh D'Souza at 2570 South Bonnie View Road.
Well, I think that's going to sound pretty
yes,
good.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And All right.
Hopefully we'll have power.
Yeah, exactly. What time does that start again?
Starts at 6 o'clock. And we over here in this neck of the woods, we are on REU, so we haven't experienced any of the power outages, thankfully.
Right, right.
I hope that when people say REU in the future, they'll think about this.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
You've heard this, Sally, is that we had people advocating selling REU at one point to PG&E, you know, several years ago. You remember that?
I do.
And they were saying, no, we're not going to do that. And for a variety of reasons, but this is the best reason anybody ever brings it up again.
Absolutely.
We said, hey, you remember the big blackouts all over California? Well, not in REU country.
Yeah, well, it looks like there's going to be more blackouts as we move through the year. And I was wondering, do you have any forecasts for the weather on Thursday? Is it supposed to be windy on Thursday, actually?
According to what we have here, and this, of course, you know, changes every time that we read this, we do change. But according to the National Weather Service that does this printout, it's supposed to be sunny with a high near 74 on Thursday, but not windy. It's supposed to be windy up till Wednesday.
Okay,
you know, of
great.
Course, the wind right now, as we look outside, we don't see wind.
Okay, well, we'll be out doing a petition gathering then for signatures on the recall on Thursday.
All right, thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
Right. Hey, wait a minute. Are y'all going? Is Terry going to have a mask on? Or is he going to take off
pirate.
The? Or is he going to take off the mask? Is he listening?
All right.
Thanks,
well,
Sally.
Thank you, guys.
Is he listening?
No, he's in the shower, actually.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, go in there with
tell
the phone.
Him,
and
tell
let me, let's just say this: how scary this is, okay?
Thank God.
Okay, thanks, Sally.
All right, Sally.
You
know,
bye-bye.
Carl, I want to talk.
That was bad.
I want us to keep in our prayers this morning all of those people, not only have thousands of people have to fled their, evacuate their homes, but for many of those people who love the wine country, there is a very historical Soda Rock winery dating back 150 years old, completely burned. And there's almost 200,000 people to flee a swath of Northern California wine country. What has happened is the owner, Ken Wilson, told the San Francisco Chronicle he learned that two houses, an artist studio, a water tower, and a winery's main building were destroyed. Also, all of his 2019 vintage wines and much of his inventory. So for those people who've been in this beautiful part of our state, it's devastating. And so we might just be mindful today as we, you know, try to be kind today. We're in a mayhem. We're in different parts of California, southern, northern. We've been through it ourselves here in Redding and in Paradise. People, you know, their lives are upside down. People with outages saw people yesterday. You know, it's getting a little chilly right now. So those people who are trying to find shelter, you know, this might be a time that you open your home and let somebody use a shower or a bed or feed them a meal or something like that, because we need to really share in our kindness right now, because on so many levels, it's a ripple down effect. What's happening with, you know, our country, we've got a lot of stuff going on. The World Series is on. President Trump was at the World Series game last night, and there was a massive, I just can only think about what that would feel like. Did they boo Nixon? Did they boo Clinton? Did they boo Reagan? Did they boo
Obama?
But President Trump was at the World Series last night, and it was a massive, according to the news,
I don't think it was. There was a lot, but I don't think it was like the whole stadium by any means.
They said it was it went on. According to these reports.
And what she's talking, what Linda's talking about is lock him up type thing. And even Joe Scarborough says this is terrible. But there's always a but on it. But Trump started it. You know, and the thing is that, yeah, at his rallies, at his political rallies, the people have said that. Lock her up. And so now it's coming back at you. And, you know, it's just part of...
it's not the place.
It's, well,
it's not a political rally. It's the World Series.
It was the World Series, but...
And everybody's watching, and it's just not the place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, of course, he'd be there in Washington, D.C. to be there for the game. Also, this is just something else, not just to add to one more thing. It's the chaos that's happening with the fire, you know, hurricane-force winds, white caps on the bay, and, of course, the widespread power outages. But what happened that we don't really realize is was people were fleeing. There was also an earthquake.
There was an earthquake?
Yeah, so the headlines are saying that, you know, California is living, like, in a nightmare. You know, it's living in its own nightmare right now.
We had an earthquake at the same time.
Yes.
You know what? We got to take a break here. And when we come back, let's talk about some things that came to us over the weekend. This is one. It was an article in the newspaper. Another one was somebody sent us something on, I think it was Facebook, about California and the decline of California, the quick decline of California. Let's talk about that when we get back. But this portion of the show is brought to you by Home Helpers. Sharon Clark began her company over 15 years ago and has been rated number one in the North State so many times I can't even keep count. But if you're looking for a place to keep your loved ones safe and independent in their own home, whether it's an operation, maybe it was a fall, or maybe it's full-time, you call Sharon Clark. She'll set up a program that's right for you and your family. Give her a call at 226-8350 or learn more at ReddingHomeHelpers.com. Remember, there's no place like home, and Redding Home Helpers wants to keep your loved ones there. We'll be right back after these messages, 8:16 in the morning, 52 degrees out there, going up to about 74 today. Beautiful day.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was leaving, and the vision that was...
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living, and wanted to share some thoughts from Dave Setholter about his experience having his mother-in-law, Mary Ann, move here to River Commons.
Originally, my mother-in-law wanted to live on her own, and she really wanted to be independent. River Commons has really made that possible for her to not only remain independent, but to actually grow and to thrive. There's just such a big difference in her peace of mind and her well-being, and that's what we really wanted. It's really been the solution for her to come here, and it was her idea. After looking at some other options, when she came here, it was an easy choice for her. She's really happy she did. She feels like she's home. It's enriching. She's meeting new people, really enjoying herself, and that's really what it's all about.
Call today and schedule a tour or lunch in a tour and see for yourself why our residents love living here at River Commons. Call 221-2121 or on the web at river-commons.com.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167, 241-1167.
Orchard Nutrition Center presents the Healthy Living Expo, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel. There'll be free samples, information, and education all dedicated to your health, and it's free admission. Come check out the dozens and dozens of booths, plus free educational talks in the Sundial Room with expert guest speakers all dedicated to your health. So make plans to bring your family to the Healthy Living Expo, November 2nd, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Red Lion Hotel. Brought to you by Orchard Nutrition Center.
The Reading Renteria Senior Nutrition Program provides socialization, transportation, and free meals to eligible Native American elders and their spouses. Our program celebrates Native elders through cultural activities, entertainment, exercise, and education. Elders can dine together here and will deliver meals to those who are unable to attend. The Reading Rancheria Senior Nutrition Program is free. Discover the services available to you or your elders at ReadingRancheria.com.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents The Rocky Horror Show, its first production at their new theater at 2613 Batelli Lane in Reading. This cult classic tells the musical tale of the newly engaged Brad and Janet, who get caught in a storm near the home of Dr. Frankenfurter and are in for a wild night of misadventure. The Rocky Horror Show, on stage at Axiom Repertory Theater October 17th through Halloween. Full audience participation is encouraged. Axiom's next stage is here, and it's here thanks to you. Tickets and information at axreptheater.com.
We're Billy and Patrick for Reading Kia. We both own Kias, and we love them.
It's Customer Appreciation Month with some of the best deals of the year on the cars and SUVs Reading loves to drive.
Gas prices are ridiculous right now. Drive a 2019 Kia Niro CUV, get an estimated 50 miles per gallon, and receive $1,500 in Kia customer cash. That's a customer appreciation deal.
Or how about a super affordable 2020 Kia Sportage with all-wheel drive? Winter's coming, and if you want to go anywhere, on-road or off, this is your SUV. Get your best price and $2,000 Kia customer cash at Reading Kia.
And every Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, the best in the business. Warranty's a limited powertrain warranty. See Kia.com or retailer for details.
Sale ends 10/31/2019. Billy is the marketing manager for Reading Kia.
For the vehicles Northern California loves to drive, nobody does it better than Reading Kia. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, 418 East Cypress, ReadingKia.com.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Here, celebrating 10 years of being on the air in this portion of the show, brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading. Linda's going, I need this watch. And I said, take it down to 2225 Hilltop Drive, Four Winds Jewelry. They can fix anything.
I'm going to get all my batteries replaced in my, just to have a bag of watches. They're just costume watches, but they're fun to change out. And, got to go get the batteries changed out. So go to Four Winds Jewelry. They do this all day long. And you may see something while you're waiting that perks your interest. Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, Kitty Corner to see our gifts. Now let's go to Sue. Sue has been gathering some statistics. And Sue, what do you have?
Okay, is this regarding the wildfires for us this morning?
Whatever you...
Yes, okay. That's it.
Yes.
Okay. Governor Gavin Newsom declared a state of emergency for California and ordered 200,000 people to evacuate due to multiple fires, including a fire along a stretch of Interstate 5. Also, a fire halted traffic in the San Francisco Bay Area. The flames came close to homes in Vallejo, including under a bridge in Vallejo. 39,600 PG&E customers in Shasta County without power yesterday. Hopefully, that power will be returned today. Now, there were 33,870 customers without power in Tehama County, 1,670 in Trinity County. Once again, PG&E officials are monitoring those conditions, the weather conditions, which show another very dry wind event could develop tomorrow or possibly Wednesday. What does that mean? That means more shutoffs. Now, it could be anywhere from 33 counties to 37 counties. At this point, we had 2.5 million people affected by the power outage. Now, we could see even more with this next power shutdown that could possibly happen. So people need to be prepared. They could be losing power.
Now, here's some other things, if I remember right. You may have been talking about this. Is people that lost power, and then when PG&E says, okay, this place is safe. Now we're going to turn back on the power, but it's going to take 24 to 48 hours. And then we get hit with another power outage. So they're going to be going, we're talking not 2 days or 3 days. We're talking 5, 6, 7 days.
At least.
At least without power. And I know we've talked about the list of things you should have, but do you have that handy with you?
I don't have the list at the top of my head,
but we will have it before the end of the day.
Absolutely. We'll have that list for you. And PG&E, when there is that power shutoff, they automatically notify people. My sister received a notice on her landline that the power was shut off after the power was shut off.
Well, that was nice for them to tell her.
And they give you a code to let you know when that power will be restored. Now, the code isn't something simple. It is anywhere from, 10 to 20 you know, letters and numbers intertwined. So, you know, it's not very easy to write that number down. So make sure you have a pen and pencil handy. People already know when their power shut off because the power is off. Hopefully we'll get that power restored. Now we do have ways you can protect yourself during a power outage. You want to keep your freezer and refrigerator closed. Only use generators outdoors and away from windows. Do not use a gas stove or heat on your home. Disconnect appliances and electronics to avoid damage from those electrical surges. If the power gets shut off, then turned on, then shut off again. Now, have alternate plans for refrigerating medicines and use power-dependent medical devices. That use power-dependent medical devices, so be prepared. And if you can, go to another location if you do not have power. Just remember, power outages disrupt communications, including water and transportation, including traffic lights. It forces retail businesses to close, grocery stores, gas stations, ATM, banks, and other services. And food can spoil and water can be contaminated. So make sure that you, if you are going to be without power for a long period of time, up to 5 days, you have fresh water. Okay, that is the best thing you can do for yourself. You need fresh water. And Carl, back to you.
Okay. Hey, a lot of things were happening this weekend. We're not really baseball fanatics by any means. We're not even really baseball aficionados except for the Colt 45s. I love those.
Well,
but we don't usually watch.
Well, we've been interested in watching football this year. I don't know why. For me, personally, I've been watching the games and also the World Series. You know, I love to watch how the Washington Nationals had won the first two games when they thought it was going to be the Astros. And then we watched, you know, not like we're sitting in front of the game for every play. I mean, we've got other things going on, but what's happening now, we'll flip back and forth. But I got to say that when I just made my heart sick when we heard the booing. We didn't hear the booing, but the reports of the booing for the president. And I've said it before, but go ahead. I didn't mean to jump in there. What were you going to say? What was your point?
Well, I've just that, you know, watching baseball, watching the World Series, it's still – and you know what? I maybe we just missed it and because they never mentioned that the president was there, but that was in the first – we didn't turn it on to like, the top of the fourth or something. And the but the Houston Astros – who were really favored in the series, and then the first two games they lost, and I thought, well, hey, here's the Washington Nationals, but should I leverage this into the political thing too? Is when they're visiting the Washington Nationals did a good job. But when you're back in the swamp there in D.C., does this have anything to do with changing your ability to get the job done? I mean, is this something that then the Houston Astros come in there and clobber them, not just beat them 4-3, 2-1, pitchers duel? No, they're killing them 8-1, 8-3, 9-2, whatever those are. But is it because they're back in the swamp and it kind of like sucks their ability out of them? I mean, and then the visitors coming in there say, well, I'm just visiting, so I'm going to go out and take a look at the Smithsonian and go down and see George Washington's house and all this. And then they come out and just whack them. But if you live in the swamp, you play like you live in the swamp. And can you tie that into politics at all? Is it too much to tie it into politics at this point? Not sure. But we'll know for sure if when we go back down to Houston and they're out of the swamp, are they going to win? We'll find out what my theory's like here. All right. Hey, it's 8:28 in the morning here, and the $500,000 for Garden of Lights, there's starting to be pushback on this, and, you know, a variety of ways. But the latest one is from a former city manager here that has written an op-ed for the paper, Greg Clark. And he's retired as the Reading deputy city manager I'm sure he's retired at a much higher salary than most of us make.
Had to put that in there, didn't you?
Well, I have to because here's why.
Just have to.
He's saying here is to remember the next time you read about the parolee arrested on Reading streets for the 30th time, and then all of these things. And he talks about the $500,000, $250,000 this year, and $250,000 last year. That there were other things. There were other things that the city of Reading has spent money on while he was the deputy or the assistant city manager. And I don't remember him writing an op-ed for that that we could go back and look at, I'm sure. And but what he's saying here is we could use that money in a different way. If you but he's absolutely right about that. We could. We could take that $500,000 out of the TOT funds that's being paid to for the most part to our publicity and our Wonderland, whoever that group is, that that puts the word out through a variety of means to extol the virtues of Northern California, Redding, Shasta County, all this area. And we could do that. We could take that $500,000 and pay four policemen to walk down through Henderson Open Space and keep clearing it out and use that $500,000. That's your whole job. Well, you all are rookies or you're somebody that this is what you want to do, and you just patrol the Henderson Open Space and you move people out of there. You can do that. But is that, you know, is if we start doing that, then we need to start pulling money out of other places to start, you know, if we're going to do that, let's start pulling money out of other places that perhaps are not, that have a huge impact on our crime and this. I understand what Greg's saying, but we need to take a look at all of it. And if we're going to do this, then let's get serious about it. And Linda keeps pointing at the clock.
It's time to take a break here. KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. This is Carl and Linda Bott. We'll be right back.
Right one. Right two.
Get out of fire.
Yeah!
A case of Wheaties.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune into North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Baffle and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. The Baffle and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Free Fire Radio. It's a target-rich environment.
Do we even have to second guess for a second what that means? What it conjures up an image. Welcome back to KCNR. This is Carlin Lindabot. Did you know shark activity in Florida reached its peak between April and October? But it looks like the season is going out with a bang. A 2,000-pound great white has recently been spotted swimming up and down the coast, according to our headlines today. Ooh. Okay, this portion of the show is brought to you by Crackmaster, known the ins and outs of property windshield repair. He is the shark of getting your cracks and and your dings taken out of your window. He can do it right there on the spot. It takes a couple hours, and he's got it done. Job well done. So he guarantees his work, and don't fool around with your family safety. Get it repaired the proper way at Crackmaster Windshield and Repair, located on South Market. Also, Carl, I really want to talk about this truck tragedy in Essex. We're learning more about the circumstances surrounding the deaths.
About in England?
Yeah, 39 people in a shipping container found last week in Essex in southeast England. The British investigators are still trying to determine the identities and nationalities of the 8 women and 31 men in the container, which was on the back of a truck. Each person was carrying a bag of personal belongings, and many had mobile phones, which are being downloaded and forensically analyzed. At first, authorities said the victims may have been Chinese, but the assumption was thrown into question when at least one of the passengers was found to be Vietnamese.
They had a family saying that their daughter had texted to them that she couldn't breathe and she thought she was going to die.
Oh, my God.
So, this is 39 people there in the people or the police in England are taking this very, or Great Britain are taking this very seriously.
This is human smuggling.
Yeah. This other thing is the leader, the ISIS leader, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, was killed over the weekend. Was taken out by a Delta team, it appears. And Trump did not tell anybody that this was going to happen beforehand. And he said it's because, he said, I decided not to tell officials because I was afraid of leaks could compromise the mission. And you know what you would say? Ordinarily, you would say, maybe you should tell people. But in today's political climate, would you put it past, and I hate to say this, because listen to what's being said since we took this guy out. Now, this was the leader of ISIS. The leader of ISIS that we've looked for, he was second only to Osama bin Laden for somebody we want, because this is the guy that formed ISIS, that spread it, responsible for so many deaths, so many terrorist incidents. And then since then, though, the people running for president have attacked Trump for taking this guy out, not for taking him out per se, but anything they can find to throw manure at Trump. So I would hate to think this. I mean, I really would hate to think this. But I understand Trump's reasoning. If I brief these people and word gets out, the guy could leave And then all of a sudden we don't have them. We don't have a victory against terrorists. We don't have a victory against ISIS like this. I mean, you hate to think that, don't you? That there are people out there that would put their own political interest first over taking out a terrorist like this. So I don't fault him for that. I don't fault him for that in a second because, frankly, I don't trust the political process up there anymore. I think it's gotten to the point where it makes no difference. It makes no difference. The what's right for the United States and our country, both you know, defensively and taking care of our national interest, I'm not sure that that's number one anymore with the politics in Washington, D.C. Now, there is one happy – I have one happy story here from Croatia.
Oh.
And Croatia, of course, being one of my favorite places.
Do share.
I lived there for about 18 months working for a company there. And I can't help but tell you what a great place Croatia is, how friendly the people are, the whole thing. And they love Americans. But this one is – there's something going on there called Justice for Jerry. Jerry is a bull, and he was 1 year old, and he somehow escaped from a slaughterhouse.
Like an animal bull.
Yeah, animal bull. That he somehow escaped from a slaughterhouse last Friday in Split. And Split's right on the is right on the coast there. The river comes through there, and everybody in Croatia is calling to let the bull live. He got out. And they saw him over in, they saw him on a wooded hill and they chased after him, veterinarians, police. I don't think they took the army out yet, but it says police, veterinarians, and hunters to help search for the bull who is nicknamed after the mouse, you know, from Tom and Jerry. And since, the owner has said, Ivan Bozak, imagine having a name like that in Croatia, has pledged to save the animal's life if he is captured. Since he managed to escape a certain death, he will certainly stay alive, he told local media, at least for this week. Anyway, this is the big news in Croatia right there.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know what? It's kind of like when we hit, you get a bull that's, or cows that are on the streets down in like San Antonio or someplace. You know, it becomes big news because that's not something you see all, you know, ordinarily. Anyway. Hoping that it ends good for Jerry.
Oh,
I had to have something good here because everything I'm looking at. The other thing is when Elizabeth Betancourt was here, as we were leaving, I said, you know, this problem of people leaving California. And she said, well, you know, I have some statistics and she's going to send them to me. She says, I don't know how old they are. That says we've been kind of like losing people for a long time. Well, I can't wait to see the article she sends me, and maybe, and she says, but I don't know how old this is, and that the people we are, and the people that we are getting are usually more trained, more educated, etc. But I think Sue's been checking this out on the statistics here, and I said, well, it seems to me that everything I'm reading is that we have people leaving. And Sue, you've got some statistics.
I do, actually. It appears that from a report written, it's time for companies to leave California's toxic business climate. Between 2008 and 2016, they believe that 2,183 businesses had fled California, but now reports are saying that 13,000 businesses may have fled at that time. That's only between 2008 and 2016. Now, rather than slowing or at least leveling out, the pace has picked up, and apparently it looks like disinvestment events in 2016 alone show that there were at least 1,500, which means people are leaving California. On a large basis, we will have a better report on actually 2019 figures by the end of the year. But at this point, the statistics that they are, you know, basing it on is, you know, we're thinking that's only up until 2016. And now with the fires and everything else that has happened in the state of California, plus, you know, the cost of living. And you include the cost of running a business and employees and the wages, which are ready to go up for those small businesses. Quite a few small businesses or businesses throughout the state of California, people will no longer be able to afford to run those mom and pop shops. And I think we will be, in my personal opinion, seeing a huge exodus that has already begun in California.
Well, and I think one of the things, you know, when Gavin Newsom wants to know why gas is a dollar, you know, at least a dollar more than any other place, he needs to look at a couple of things. They're saying, well, it's probably the refineries or something. Well, what it is the refineries are selling it at the cost, you know, where they can make a profit. Where that other 73 cents comes in is for people that are selling the gas have to pay more taxes. They're paying more taxes on things. They're paying more quality control. They're paying more for permitting. They're paying more for just everything, the transport of it and all that. You have to add in all the taxes, all the permitting fees, all the cost of employees, all the cost for, if somebody gets injured, taxes, everything. And you're going to start, and that adds all to the price of gas. And anybody with a simple economics, if you take economics 101, you're going to know that if I buy it at this price and these are my expenses, I have to sell it at this price if I'm going to make any profit. So something else, too. The other one, a poll conducted by Edelman Intelligence found that the chief reason for dissatisfaction isn't wildfires, earthquakes, but housing costs and availability. So that's something else you can just add into there. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. And if you're thinking about, let's expand here because I do like it in Redding. I do like it in California. Go to Cornerstone Community Bank because they are moving local dreams forward. Located at 1845 California Street, just right down the street from Jack's, or 192 Hartnell Avenue. And Linda and I will be there on the 7th. As we do the big Rapa push, so you can come by and see us and give us and donate to Rapa for veterans, so that veterans will have bus passes for the rest of the year. Okay, Cornerstone Community Bank. It's 8:45 in the morning. It's 52 degrees out there. It's going to be a beautiful day. We'll be right back.
By now he's bucking mean and dirty, slinging mud, cowboy boots, and kicking clowns. No food.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Your friendly oil change.
At Premier Oil Change, we pride ourselves in efficiency and customer service. We love to hear what our guests have to say about us. Mary said,
"Best service yet, guys. Thanks."
Gene commented,
"Always polite, friendly, fast, and efficient."
Pat wrote,
"The crew is always friendly, and they get me in and out."
Lindsay said,
"We always come here, amazing and fast."
Come experience Premier Oil Change for yourself. Our trained technicians will take care of your maintenance while you wait in the comfort and safety of your vehicle. Enjoy free beverages and Wi-Fi while we do the rest. No appointment required, just drive in. Stop by a Premier Oil Change near you today. Visit us in Palisadro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park. Both locations get you a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441. For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio celebrating 10 years on the air, 55 degrees, going up to 73 today. Weather reports always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call at 365-3793. It's getting chilly out there. And they have discounts for seniors and veterans at Shasta Gas Propane. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. The best place to get a haircut. I'm, of course, signing up for today because they take appointments at 244-9478. Man's last stronghold. What can I say? Hey, we've mentioned this, but now that they've arrested people and we can talk about it, that a deputy was shot and killed over in Somerset, California, and in El Dorado. And it appears that he went there with a ride-along who just happened to be another deputy from a different region, area. And they were two of the people there were Mexican nationals here illegally that were there growing marijuana. And when they showed up, they essentially were ambushed. It was being operated illegally, a marijuana grow. They announced their presence and asked for whoever's in the garden to show themselves. They were immediately shot at and they fired back. The deputy was struck above his bulletproof vest and died at the spot. But here's the sheriff said something that's very true. There's a lot of violence that surrounds these marijuana gardens, and we're seeing a perfect example of it right now. To say this is just medicine and does no harm and that California laws that have been passed are going to be able to adequately prepare us and deal with this situation is a fallacy. You know, there's one thing to grow it legally. There's one thing to do it everything legally. You grow it legally, you sell it legally, it illegal grows. Then you have people there that are willing to shoot it out. And when you have that, then our law enforcement that goes there to take down an illegal grow, and then you're going to lose people like this. And again, you know, people say, as we've heard today, we need people here, migrants, illegals, for our agriculture. Well, how many of them are in the agriculture business of growing marijuana? And as we've said, it's not those places are, you know, you get warned when you're out in the woods that, hey, you start to see anything about a marijuana grow, get out of there. They're going to, you know, without pause. They've got guns. They can hurt you out there. Well, how many places are out there in our wilderness areas, up in our national forest, or other places that are being used for illegal grows by people not from this country using illegal pesticides, using illegal rodent killers that have been banned for years in the United States, but now they're using it because they're bringing it up from Mexico, and it's killing raptors. It's killing our natural it's killing off foxes and coyotes and birds, all of these things. And yet we still are just kind of like, oh, okay. And then somebody gets killed, a deputy sheriff gets killed doing his job out there. And then everybody's outraged for about a minute. And truthfully, after I talk about this today and say that, you know, something's got to be done, but I know that, frankly, nothing's going to be done. Our law enforcement officers are going to continue to put their lives on the line out there for these things, and the politicians really don't give a damn. They don't care. They are more interested in banning straws from next thing. What's the next thing after that? Is banning straws, telling you can't use plastic wrappers, you can't use plastic bags. And, of course, the idea of you buying a box of ammunition without having a thorough background investigation, even though that the ones that come into our country across the border don't have that.
Well, Sue just came in to talk about the top five reasons 1,800 businesses left California in 2018. Number one, increased housing costs. Number two, worst state to do business, taxation, regulations, workforce, creativity, quality, excuse me. Now, we have seen, we are celebrating 10 years of owning KCNR 1460, and then recently with FM went, bought another FCC license tower. So we're on two towers, which means, you know, individual businesses taxed, how much it's gone up in the last 10 years to own a business, to open the doors, electricity, insurance, workman's comp. The list goes on. We're not complaining because we enjoy what we do and we can do it right now because we have, you know, other businesses that understand the pain. And if they're going to spend advertising dollars, appreciate, you know, so it's like one hand washes the other. So number three, cost of living. These are the reasons that people have left California. Number four, state income tax. And number five, safety. These are the five top reasons why people and businesses have left California in 2018. The article in the Record Searchlight on Sunday's edition, Carl mentioned earlier, was why the middle class is leaving California. Now, my family was middle class. My family, my parents both worked. My dad was at, Aerojet. Well, we never went without, but we were, you know, when it came to like buying brands, we didn't buy brands. We bought the white
generic front,
the generic of the brand. So that's kind of how I was raised. We went to the cell rack. So, I mean, there's some great things about being frugal, but, you know, this is how I grew up. So we're middle class. And at that time in Sacramento, we lived in the country in Placerville before that. And I remember going to school in the country with kids that were super poor. And then moved to Sacramento and went to, you know, the San Joaquin School District, which had a variety of all students, classes and that kind of thing. But the reason I'm saying this is because even with my parents, I mean, my parents are in their 80s, they sold their house, they rent, but they're really seeing their California that they love so much and chose to be here change. And I can't even begin to tell you. I mean, we ran into somebody the other day outside the dentist's office. They're moving. They're putting their house up in Redding, moving to Nevada. My best friend is selling, longtime Orange County resident. They've got their house on the market, moving to Texas. How many people, Carl, when you were looking it up, how many Californians are moving to Texas? So I think about all these states are also having growing pains because Californians, the exodus of Californians moving to different states, and of course that means, well, let's do it this way. We did it this way in California. You know, all those growing pains that they're going to be feeling in different locations.
They're showing that the large, you know, states that are jumping the fastest in population are, believe it or not, are Idaho,
Texas,
Nevada, mm-hmm. Wyoming is gaining people. And a lot of them are leaving from Texas. I mean, not Texas, but from California and New York. To the fact is, and now the fear in the, you know, in those states coming in there is the reason that you're coming to our state is because low taxes or no taxes, you like what we're doing here, and yet you're going to come in here and start changing it so that it's going to be blue. Boise, Idaho, which was the reddest of all places, is now blue. It's voting in, you know, Democrats in there. Austin, Texas, going blue. And so what's happening is that the people are going there, and then, and here's the problem. When they go in and they want to change it because we got out of California because it was so screwed up, now you're going to start voting to make Texas and Idaho and Wyoming as screwed up as California is. And California is screwed up, except Redding. Redding is the little bubble of common sense right here. Even though we make some decisions, sometimes you have to question. Tomorrow, we're going to have Haven Humane on. We're going to have a couple other groups coming through also. Wednesday, we're going to have Dr. Norm Hall, who is from Simpson University, will be joining us. We have a lot of things going on. And then Friday, of course, is Congressman Doug LaMalfa will be joining us Friday. So we can talk about what's going on in this, you know, and storming the gates of the chamber. Everybody have a great day.
All right.
And it's going to be a beautiful day.
Make it a beautiful Monday. Be kind to your neighbor. And remember to have patience for those people who are without electricity. And maybe invite them over to your house if you have some in order to take a shower and just make life a little easier on them.
And remember, it's good guys against bad guys. Which are you?
Hey, baby. There ain't no easy.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Redding by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.